Chapter 15. Catch Those Tires. The two large Goodyear tires slowly rolled down Robert's driveway. Even though they weren't moving very fast, they had a clear head start. As Robert and Chris frantically pursued them, they could see a truck turning the corner in front of the Kins' house. "Great," Robert muttered as he pumped his young legs as quickly as he could. Gasping for air, he realized he wasn't going to make it in time before the tires collided into the oncoming traffic. The truck blew its ear-splitting horn as it attempted to swerve out of the way. Even the driver knew there wasn't enough time to bring the long vehicle to a complete stop. Never the athlete, Robert cursed himself for not having taken gym class more seriously, as Chris passed him in a fevered sprint. Robert simply gave up and stopped to catch his breath.
"Get them, Chris," he called.
"What do you think I'm trying to do?"
he answered, annoyed. With one last desperate move, Chris dove headfirst for the tires, his long arms outstretched in front of him. Amazingly, each hand grabbed each tire as they stopped at the foot of the driveway, with Chris's body slamming hard onto the asphalt.
Oh.
And the truck passing within inches of the rubber rings. Crudely, the truck driver stuck a middle finger out of his window, aimed squarely at the boys as he drove away.
"Thanks, man," Robert said as he approached his friend. "I owe you one."
"No," Chris disagreed, nodding toward the tires. "You owe me two."
"I guess you're right," Robert said as Rennie finally joined them.
"I know I'm right," Chris said with confidence. "And you can start by lending me your hand."
Robert lifted his friend off the ground, and Chris dusted himself off. Looking himself over, he noticed a small tear in the bottom corner of his Miami Vice t-shirt.
"Aw, man," he complained. "This is my favorite shirt."
Rennie attempted to console him.
"You can hardly notice it,"
he offered. It didn't work. Suddenly, Chris turned on him in anger.
"If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have ripped it in the first place," he argued.
"Hey, Chris," Robert said, trying to ease the tension. "Just feel lucky you're alive and that truck didn't squash your skull like a pumpkin."
Chris had to concur that Robert was right.
"Besides," Robert continued, snapping into club leader mode,
"we're not out of the woods yet. Rennie, go back inside and close the garage door, and then meet us in my backyard."
"Why do I have to close the door?"
he asked worriedly.
"Because you're the dumb one who opened it," Chris answered with force.
"Calm down," Robert instructed. "Let's go, Chris. You take one tire and I'll take the other."
The three boys broke, two going through the gate that separated Robert's front and backyards, and Rennie reluctantly doing as he was told by crawling underneath the garage door's small gap that accidentally released the tires. Robert opened the shed behind his house that stored his beloved dirt bike. The bike's old tires had already been removed before Chris and Rennie arrived at the house. Robert knew there would be precious little time to make the switch that morning.
"You still have the lug nuts, right?"
he asked Chris.
"Yeah," he replied. "They're in my pockets."
"Good," Robert said. "We don't have much time before my dad goes to work. You put on the front tire, and I'll put on the back."
The two went to work as Rennie approached from behind.
"Hey, guys!"
he called loudly as they both jumped.
"Jeez, man!"
Robert hollered as he tried fitting his dad's Toyota tire on his bike's frame.
"Don't sneak up on us like that. You're the one who told me to meet you guys here,"
Rennie complained. Chris saw red.
"Rennie,"
he began,
"do you ever not whine?"
"Of course," he answered brightly.
"I try to get 10 hours of sleep a day."
Before Chris could reply with what was assuredly another smart-alecky comment, Robert called for attention.
"We've got another problem, guys," he informed them. "The tires won't fit the bike. They're too large."
Puzzled, Robert rubbed his chin.
"I guess I should have seen this coming."
"Any ideas?"
Chris asked.
"I've got nothing," Robert admitted.
"That's normally Rennie's line,"
Chris noted, gesturing toward their younger friend.
"Hey, I'm full of good ideas,"
Rennie protested.
"Okay, prove it then,"
Chris taunted.
"How can we get these tires on the bike?"
Instantly, and without thinking, Rennie replied,
"Just let some of the air out."
Chris's rebuke was swift.
"That's the dumbest—"
"Wait," Robert interrupted, removing the cap on his tire to let the air out. "That actually might work."
As the air hissed out of the shrinking tube, like a sighing snake, the wild boars watched the tire contract to a size that was compatible with the bike's enhanced frame, and Robert easily placed it on. Chris stared in amazement.
"I don't believe it,"
he said, his mouth agape.
"Told ya."
Rennie rubbed it in his face, clearly pleased with himself.
Okay, Chris admitted. That's one for you. Now, you only need about 5,000 more to tie with me.
Quick, Robert said, ignoring his friend's argument to focus on the task at hand. Do the same with your tire as I screw in the nuts.
Robert took the lug wrench from his back pocket and began screwing the nuts into the rear tire, as Chris released some of the air from the front one. Rennie let out a small defeated sigh.
Let me guess, he began. I'm on lookout again?
No need, Robert said proudly, tightening the last nut and then handing Chris the wrench.
We're almost done.
I can't believe we're going to get away with this, Chris said, as he replaced the cap on the tire and began screwing the nuts in.
What are you going to say when your dad finds out?
The question startled Robert, almost as if he had never thought of it before. Being his best friend, Chris seemed to sense this, asking,
You do have a plan, right?
Robert began, hunting for the right words.
I'll think of something.
Disappointed, Chris shook his head.
You usually have a plan for everything, he said,
losing faith in his so-called leader. Before Robert could respond, Chris placed the last lug nut in his tire, and in a bizarre demonstration,
waved his hands like a morose magician and glumly stated,
Ta-da!
For all the effort they had endured that morning, it seemed fairly anticlimactic. But Robert wasn't going to let Chris get him down.
Come on, Chris, he said. I'm going to test this baby. Hop on your bike and meet me at school.
Since the larger tires lifted his bike higher off the ground, Robert had to strain himself on his toes to properly mount it. He then revved his bike's engine to life as Chris walked toward the front of the house to retrieve his own bike.
Wait for me,
Rennie said as he trailed Chris.
You almost ruined this for us, Chris said, turning around in anger. You can walk.
And with that, Robert and Chris sped away in a cloud of smoke, leaving Rennie literally in the dust to cough alone. As the bikes turned down the end of the block to head for school, Rennie heard Robert's father scream from the garage.
What the hell happened to my car?
He asked, and Rennie didn't wait for him to repeat the question.
He did as Chris instructed and ran to school as fast as his chubby legs could carry him,